purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn. It's time for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Here's your host, Chris Williams, alongside Brent Bloom and Jared Stansberry.
Thanks, AD. Welcome back to this week's Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. I want to give a shout-out to my little girl, Cammie. It's her second birthday tonight. We got a bunch of Elmo balloons here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, and we're going to do a little celebrating after the program. Welcome, Brent Bloom.
I mean, there's no other way. I'd want to celebrate when I was two with Elmo at Benchwarmers.
Do you judge me for having my daughter's second birthday party at a bar?
Not at all. Not at all. Elmo, big deal right now, though?
Oh, big deal.
All right.
Elmo and the PJ Masks.
That's the new thing. I've discovered this.
Yeah, the kids. Let's start things off. Go straight to the Wheeze Tees hotline and talk to my guy, Iowa State head coach Steve Prohm, who joins us here on 1460 KXNO. Coach, congrats on the win last night, man.
Man, happy birthday to your little girl. I didn't know it was her birthday tonight. So
yeah, well, why don't you get Cass and bring Cass down here tonight, man? We'll do a party.
my mom just got in town, so I got a lot going. Yeah,
I got you.
That was a good win, man. Proud of our guys. Played really well. I thought our first half was as good of a half that we played on both ends of the floor.
How many times does your mom watch you coach in Hilton?
She probably tries to come two, three times a year, maybe. You know, this is probably her second game this year, and so she probably tries to come out once every 2 months, and then so probably two conference games, a non-conference game, and then they come to the tournament.
Be honest with me. Does she think that Cyclone fans are crazy? Come on.
In a good way. in a good way. So that's the one thing I was telling somebody today is the more you watch these games on TV and the more you, travel and you really understand and appreciate how good our fan base is. And obviously, when you don't play great, it isn't good. But, I'm just kidding. But, it's amazing every night, 14,000, the passion. It's unbelievable. There's only certain schools in the country that can do what we do, every single night. And that's really, really impressive.
Steve, when I went back and rewatched last night's tape this morning, Solomon Young was a standout, obviously. But I get, you know what the biggest thing to me was when I rewatched it was Deontay Burton's play. I know, like, we've all talked so much about Deontay finding that consistency this year and really throughout his career. I compared it to, and I don't know how much you know football. I know you're a big Redskins fan, but what I compared it to when I watched it for the second time, Deontay seemed like earlier in the year, I felt like Deontay was like a free safety or a cornerback who didn't have very good linebackers in front of him, and he was always trying to overcompensate to make up for that. When Solomon Young played the way he did last night, it just seemed like Deontay kind of took a deep breath and thought, I don't have to put this whole team on my back as far as the front court goes. And I thought he played the most consistent and probably efficient game of his Iowa State career last night. Is that a fair comparison to you?
You know, I ought to hire you because I just met with Deontay before I left the office. And we just watched film today on Kansas State and then on TCU. And I met with him. I met with a couple guys today. And I met with him, and I told him, I said, I was probably most pleased about him last night, that I thought it was a really, really disciplined game for him on both ends of the floor. And he still had 17 points, not forcing things and, being pretty good in ball screen defense. And so, maybe if I have a spot open, we'll try to pull you out of the Cyclone Fanatic rank.
Bring it on, Coach.
Coach, you're going to give him a bigger ego than he already has, so let's slow down.
Hey, I'm a free agent, man. I'm a free agent. This is my contract year.
Coach, what did you do so well?
What was that, Coach?
Yeah, go ahead, Coach.
I just said we'll talk if the spot opens, man. I'll leave.
All right. All right, deal. Go ahead, Blue.
Hey, Coach, what did you do so well in that first half? Because it just appeared that everybody was comfortable and, spacing was good, and I thought just tremendous effort in the first half.
Well, I think it starts, obviously starts defensively. I thought we got lucky. The first possession or two, they did miss a layup, contested layup one time, but I thought defensively really good in ball screen defense, our ball pressure, helping one another out. In our gap, bluffing and getting back and ball screen defense on the weak side. And so I thought that was the first and foremost what made us good. And then offensively, we made shots, but we did a really good job of moving the basketball and making the next guy better, of driving kicks, facing the floor. And so I think our guys are a lot more comfortable. If you watch us play all year, we're playing a lot different offensively than we have all year. And I've tried to get a little bit better control, and I think it's paid off for us so far.
Steve, I obviously don't think it's fair to put expectations on Solomon to have 18 and 12 every night out, but I will say this. I feel like if he's even giving you half that on a nightly basis, and even that's a tall task still, I feel like what it does with your team is it gives you more layers heading into March, where we all know with the NCAA tournament, matchups are crazy. I mean, you don't know who you could be playing if you get out of the first round. But I do think a microcosm of that is this Saturday. When you played TCU the first time, your three posts combined for one rebound. I feel like there's more consistency at that position, and TCU all of a sudden, instead of being a dire matchup for your team where you're having to roll five guards out there, it's all of a sudden not a terrible matchup. When Solomon's bringing that, how different and how much more dangerous is your basketball team come March?
Well, we're a lot better team, and I was talking to some people today. Unfortunately, Solomon got hurt in the beginning of the year and missed some games. Not only is a freshman missing games hurts, but missing practice time. And so you know, he regressed a little bit in that time because he wasn't able to practice, be out there, and the freshman needs as much work as possible. And, you know, he got better, he got healthy, and then he stayed the course when his opportunity came. And, you know, you talked about 18-12, and that was great, but he had the same impact at Kansas, and I think he had no points and six rebounds. So it's like you said, he doesn't have to get 18-12 every night to be to help us be successful. He just has to continue to be a presence on both ends of the floor, finishing plays, rebounding. He's done that so far. Great kid, great work ethic, and I'm glad he's with us and happy just for the success he's having. He deserves it right now.
Coach, it seems like you've had your best back-to-back games of the season now, two games in a row. I know the term you like is max out. What do you have to continue to do to max out as you want to come March?
I think the biggest thing is just continue to challenge these guys. Can't be content. I think they understand. I showed clips of TCU. I mean, we weren't very good over there, and credit them. I mean, they beat us pretty good over there. And so I think our guys, we have to do a great job of keeping them focused, of keeping them in the – just thinking about the moment, trying to go 1-0 this week, and that's Saturday versus TCU, and understand that if we play the right way, we can be really good. If we play if we get out of character, then we're not very good. And I think we're starting to understand that a little bit more. But these guys got to continue. We've got to continue to keep them hungry and stay on them and, you know, continue to get great leadership from our four seniors.
Last thing I've got for you, Steve, is I wanted to commentate here on Matt Thomas. He went into last night's game 68% from three in the previous six games, which included an 0-for-5 night, which is insane to me. And then he went 2-for-3 last night. So Matt is clearly in a zone. Like, we all knew Matt was a great three-point shooter. This is a zone unlike anything he's even been in. Is he hitting shots like that in practice too? I mean, I guess my question is, like, how good has he been in your mind? And I was also curious, have you ever coached a guy who's been in a three-point streak like Matt is right now?
You know, Matt is so diligent. He's one of the most diligent and hard workers I've been around. He's shooting every single day before or after. And so he's deserving of all those threes that he makes. And made two really big threes for us in the second half yesterday. You know, we've tried to do a good job of getting him in some baseline action, staggers, some pin downs. Sometimes it's tough to get him shots off dribble penetration now because people are just staying at home on him so much and not wanting to leave him. You know, I think that was one of Kansas State's game plans here, and they didn't do a great job with that. And I think they made a conscious effort not to leave him last night. And that's why that big three to put us up 9 was a big one, because they lost him for a second. He was able to make a shot. But I probably had one other guy that shot it like that. But Matt is as good of a shooter as I've ever been around. And like I said, he deserves it. He works at it. And I'm really happy for his success. And we're going to need him to keep shooting like that as we go down the stretch.
Coach, we appreciate it. What are you doing with Mom tonight? You taking her out on the town up there in Ames? What's going on
at
the prom
house? No, I got home. I just walked in and hanging with Cass a little bit, and then my wife's cooking, and so we'll eat a little bit and probably watch Coach Kennedy and the Aggies play a little bit, and then
we're watching them right here. They're up 7 right now.
And then I will dive into TCU. Start watching their game last night versus Oklahoma State and watch our edit tape, and then try to put our little game, you know, slowly put the game plan together for TCU.
Coach, I keep telling people that Oklahoma State game, not to sleep on that one for you guys later on in the year. That team, I'm kind of in love with that Oklahoma State team, Coach. Brad's got that group playing really, really hard right now. That's as impressive of a turnaround as I've seen since Iowa State and Wayne Morgan did it back in 2005 when they started 0-5, won at Texas and at Kansas, a couple of top five wins on the road. But what do you have to say about Coach Underwood, though? Starts 0-6 in the league. They've rattled off 6 of 7 now. They're playing as well as anybody in the Big 12.
Yeah, they are. Brad's a great coach. He does a great job there. A lot of respect for him and his program. And, you know, the one thing he did is, you know, he brought in his mentality from Stephen F. Austin to where they full out deny and pressure in a half court, and they struggle guarding people like that. And I think they decided to go back and just contain the dribble, and they really pushed their defense back in the gap, and that's made them a better team. And I haven't seen much of them. This is the first game I'll watch of them. But they've won at home. They've won on the road. And obviously those we've got three home games starting with tomorrow, and all three are against really, really quality teams.
Coach, thanks, man. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep, take care. Steve Prohm here on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we're live from Benchwarmers here on 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor, generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk to go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You've just been hungerstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters. Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks to Steve Prohm for joining us in the first segment. Bloom, thoughts on interview with Coach?
That's extra pressure that mom's in town for him this weekend, isn't it? No, I thought it was good.
I like it. I like getting Coach away from
the rest of the...
Yeah, because
not
he,
that the media's hard
no,
on
him. No, he's better one-on-one. He's very honest. I love interviewing Coach.
He will answer. This is what I appreciate about him. He will answer every question you ask him and give a really detailed answer. You ask him about Oklahoma State and he starts talking about their, you know, schematic defense at Stephen F. Austin. I mean, he will legit give you basketball X's and O's if you ask him.
You have to listen.
You got to listen for it, yeah.
That's the key.
He gives you a lot of info if you just, you
more
know,
than Fred did, more, really.
Oh, yeah, Fred because was Fred, very general.
Yeah.
Which was fine. I mean, he still is general. That's just Fred's personality. But you can tell Steve really loves, you know, the X's and O's and the really digging in. And he wants this team to get where he thinks they can go. And they've played really well the last two games.
Did you hear him all but offer me a job?
I mean, that's kind of the underlying story. What would you do? I don't know.
What wouldn't I do?
I don't know if I want you touching ball screen defense.
No, I don't think I'd be an X's and O's guy. I think it's more of a motivator.
I see you as Wayne Morgan, like a recruiter, just going out and getting players.
Adam Grace here.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if I was supposed to talk yet.
That's all good. I'd be okay with being Wayne Morgan.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Every staff needs a Wayne Morgan.
Okay.
I agree.
Somewhat relevant, considering the circumstances with Eustachy, but I've heard stories before of when Larry was running practices and Wayne would come in to practice, at practice.
I've heard these. Yeah.
And Larry would tell him in no uncertain terms, Wayne, we don't need you here. Get on the road.
Go get us some players.
Yeah. Just no interest in his X's and O's there, but they wanted him to recruit. And he did a very good job.
Yep. Little did Larry know he was about to be the head coach at Iowa State.
Jeez.
Yeah. No kidding.
Blast from the past there. Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. Of course, we're at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Let's do a little Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale, shall we? Gray versus Bloom tonight?
I believe I won last time.
Last time?
I did. Yeah, I did. There's some things I don't forget, and beating Bloom is one of them.
Gray beat you in an intellectual debate?
Well, who's the judge? I mean, intellectual.
Yeah, coming from me.
Yeah.
All right. Since you're the defending champion, Gray, you get to go first.
Okay.
He was great last night. I'm talking about Solomon Young, of course. We're not expecting him to have a double-double every night the rest of the year. Who does Iowa State need him to be? Who will Solomon Young be the rest of the season?
That's a tough one to answer because, let's be honest, the last two games have kind of come out of nowhere. I looked it up. His first 12 games in Big 12 play, he averaged 1 point per game, and a lot of that is minutes-based. In the last two games,
he was dinged up, too.
To be fair.
Yeah.
But still, him averaging 13 the last two games in a start still is quite the surprise. I think you're going to see a Solomon who's going to continue to be active and know his role in that he doesn't need to be a guy that gets the ball and goes and finds his own shot. If he just is in the right place and plays hard, he's going to get those tip-in dunks or layups. He's going to get some alley-oop from these guards. I think maybe 8 points, 5 to 6 rebounds a game is what we're going to see from him the rest of the year.
Bloom, what do you think?
Well, that's the thing. You go back and watch yesterday. You see the stat line. You go, oh, my gosh. He's the next coming to Marcus Fizer. But then go watch
You have no idea how many tweets I got comparing him to Fizer.
Oh.
No, you didn't.
Swear to God.
Oh, gosh.
But if you
tap
go,
the brakes, folks.
One jump shot, and he made a hook shot, I think, right?
The only real move that I remember making was a left-hand layup. Yeah. He got it in the block and went and made that move. It was a nice move.
It was a good move. But yep. He had a jump shot, and he had that move. Everything else was putbacks, lobs, fast break
hey,
stuff.
You guys know this. Was that the first lob in Big 12 play that Iowa State – a lob dunk that Iowa State's had this year?
Holden dropped one.
Holden – no.
They've thrown him a lot, but missed a lot of them.
That game that he came back in
– Oklahoma.
No, it was the first home game he played back.
Yeah, he did. Yep. He had something.
Yeah, he had one. Okay. So that was the second. But the point still stands.
Yeah.
Think about how many points they got from Jameel McKay on lob dunks over the last 2 years.
He just needs to be Jameel McKay. Like, that's what they needed all along from a big guy. He wasn't ready yet, and Holden and Bowie either were in foul trouble or not big enough to handle it on the other side. And what Solomon did so well yesterday, you look at the 18 and 12, but he just got in the way on defense. Like, that's – he was a presence, so you couldn't just bully him to the basket and get a layup. And I don't know, production-wise, it's going to wane. Steve said it in the first segment. He's like, he played the same, essentially, in Kansas – a couple weeks ago with no points. But it's just the fact of being a presence and getting in the way defensively. And I think 8-4 is reasonable, something like that.
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything crazy last night, and I think that's the most impressive thing about his outing. It wasn't out of body. He was just in the right place at the right time, and he's going to get a bunch of points that way.
We talked about this, Chris, on CFTV Live the other day too, comparing him a little bit to Melvin Edgem.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Hoiberg said he never set up a play for Melvin Edgem. Melvin was constantly just in the right place, and he worked really hard. And I think if Solomon Young does that, he can be productive at Iowa State. And he's not going to be an all Big 12 player like Melvin Edgem, but I think he can make an impact relative to what Melvin did.
Yeah, you both get a point there. That's good conversation all the way around.
Yeah, buddy.
Tie.
Half?
I'm okay with the tie now, but we're not ending in a tie.
Like
you're going to make a decision.
This is the NFL's regular season. Tie. Bloom, this goes to you. Ken Pom, interestingly to me, has Iowa State going 2-3 the rest of the way. I really figured after the win at Kansas and then last night at Kansas State, they would get bumped up to 11-7 somehow. They've got losses to Baylor at home, at Texas Tech, and at West Virginia. wins at home against TCU and Oklahoma State. How is this season actually going to play out?
Whew. I think they get three. I say...
Don't ride the fence here. You got to give exacts.
TCU... Okay, I'm going to go exact then. I'm going to go TCU, Oklahoma State, Baylor all at home.
Okay.
Get those three.
And you're going to lose on the road at Tech in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you
buy? I'm not buying Baylor, by the way. Everyone say, oh, I don't know that. Listen, Baylor is
Baylor.
Baylor. I mean, we've said it for
it's Baylor.
8 years. They are good.
I agree with you.
They're not winning in Hilton for what, the second straight year?
Third. Third straight year.
Be the third straight
My goodness,
year.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And they didn't, like, what was the streak before they won? They hadn't won.
Oh, no, ever.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, they hadn't.
That was the first time they'd ever won games 2 years ago.
Crazy. Yeah, so they're, I think Iowa State sweeps the home games.
I agree with everything Bloom said. Although, let's be honest, Baylor could be undefeated, number one in the country, and Bloom would not give them any respect.
Oh, yeah, because Bloom's a Scott Drew hater.
He just hates everything about that program.
Bloom is playing to the Twitter crowd.
When they got a one seed, I laughed. Because I was like, they would be the first 116 to lose.
Well, you're actually 100% accurate with that take.
Their resume right now looks good, but if you really kind of break it down, their wins early in the year aren't as impressive as they looked. I mean, Oregon didn't have Dylan Brooks. Michigan State's not as good as everyone thought they were going to be.
Louisville's a nice win.
But, I mean, I agree with Bloom. I think Iowa State gets all three wins at home. And I think
nobody's going to say they can beat Tech.
They can beat Tech, but here's the thing with
it's
Tech.
It's 4-1.
Tech needs that win to make the tournament. Like, they have to win those games, and they're playing well. That'll be a tough one.
And it's a Monday night
in Lubbock. Yeah.
Part of me
is kind of weird.
Maybe I love Oklahoma State too much.
No, they're feisty. They want to. I think that
Baylor and Oklahoma State at this point are similar games.
Agreed.
Baylor's just a bad matchup for Iowa State in general. However, I think if we all know this Iowa State team, they'll be really full of P and V when that game shows up.
Yes.
They will be. More so, I think, like, Oklahoma State scares me a little bit because it's senior night. You got other things on the mind. Who knows?
You know, I've talked about this before. Monte Morris against other top-level point guards brings out his best game. Last time he played against Evans,
absolutely
he had 30 points.
Best game of his
completely
career.
Dominated
That's a good
him.
Good point, Gray.
So I think Iowa State will be just fine in that game. They'll beat Oklahoma State by double digits.
Wow, I hope you're right. That'd be a really impressive win because that Oklahoma State team's feeling it. I'll give Gray the point there because he went out on a limb. I like that.
Can we roll the tape back from, like, January? I think one media member in this market said Iowa State would go 11-7.
Who was it?
That was me. High five.
Yeah.
We can find it.
We really did. It was on this program.
Yep.
Everyone
was going 8-10, 9-9. No, we're going 11-7.
I think they have just as good of a – I really do. I think they could go 12-6 as well as they could go 10-8 right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they won four.
11-7 in the Big 12 this year is a really good year. That's a solid year, especially with the problems Iowa State had all year with Diggs.
If they go 11-7, because that's what I have them at too, six seed, five seed, does that get them to
six
a five?
Seed for sure if the win's Baylor. I mean, I think they got to get one more real good quality win.
Is Baylor at home more quality than at Tech?
Yes.
Okay. It's all perception.
From the perception.
Yeah.
Standpoint.
Which, in reality, I don't know if it is.
No, I'd say Tech is a less likely win, if you're asking me right now.
God.
Yeah.
I would say it's 50. Man, yeah, that's the thing about all these games. It's like.
If they go. If they
would
go,
it, but would it sh- like, we've been burned by this team before. Would it shock you if they lost to TCU?
Yeah. Actually, it would.
It would surprise me.
Well, I mean, but this team surprised us before. Like,
I know this.
So that's my point.
Hey, we got Solomon Young going 18-12 now. It's
well,
a different team, Williams.
Yeah, take that, Brodsky.
Jeez. You just
He'll
have Steve Promon.
Solomon will get neutralized on Saturday, though.
It'll
be interesting to just see how that plays out. And Solomon will neutralize that guy, too.
Did you hear Steve say that he's changed the offense and now they're starting to figure it out? If you've noticed, they've really controlled tempo a little bit the last two games in the half court. And it's worked. It's really worked. I just like the comfort level this team's playing with.
Did anybody else get upset last night, though, when they were up 15 in the second half and Monte starts walking it down the court after a miss?
Much.
I'm like, no! Push!
I always want them to push.
They're just better when they're running downhill.
They're better in transition when they're – but
they're getting better in the half court.
Because they were bad in the half court. But
I liked what I saw yesterday.
I would love to know the analytics behind this team in half-court offense like now compared to what they were doing 2 months ago.
Bloom, so you're a basketball savant.
Well, yeah.
When they're setting this high screen and then re-screening on the other side,
yeah.
what are they looking for there? You know what I'm talking about? Solomon will come up, set a screen on the right side, and Monte will go over, and he'll turn around and screen right away again.
Because the defender, a lot of times on that ball screen, we're just getting really in the nitty-gritty here, takes the driver away that way. So if you rescreen, then you got that whole side open.
Okay.
If you do it quick enough, you can catch the defender anticipating and then beat him on the other side, essentially.
And that was, I think, the one time where Monte got called for the travel because he went up for a jump shot and then Solomon was resetting the screen and it kind of got...
It's like the, you know, the triple option back in the day where you fake one way and then go the other real quick. I mean, similar type of concept.
Okay.
But move the defense.
Actually, I'm going to revoke Gray's point and give it to Bloom for his explanation of that.
I asked him the question.
Backfired. And the fact that Bloom did predict Iowa State would go 11-7 when everybody
Thank
else
you.
Was crapping all over this
Thank
team.
Thank you.
Bloom leads 2-1 here on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show. It's Bloom versus Gray.
Is this legal? Are you able to do that?
This is an authoritarian radio show. I can do whatever I want. There are no checks and balances here.
I apologize for even questioning you, sir. Next question.
Quiet over there.
Gray, ultimately, what's Iowa State's seed in the NCAA tournament?
If it was today, I think it'd be a 7.
No, not right now. What will it be?
I think it'll be a 6.
I think it'll be a six.
Yeah, if they go 3-2, I think they might need to win one in the Big 12 tournament to feel really comfortable with the 6 seed. But let's be honest, just stay off the 8-9 game. I'll take a 7. 7 seed wouldn't scare me, but I think it's a 6.
Tournament performance, conference tournament performance is overrated in regards to seeds. Yeah,
we've learned that
Keep
the last couple of
yeah,
years.
Yeah, it doesn't really – you don't get a huge bounce.
Even when they've won, they really haven't
I don't know. They bumped up to a 3 seed when no one saw it coming a couple years back.
I don't know if it has a huge impact. I really don't. Like look at last year.
They were 12-6 in the Big 12 that year, though,
yeah.
Right?
Correct.
I believe. Off the top of my head.
They were 12-6.
So that was their best Big 12 finish under Fred, I believe.
The problem is, even when Iowa State's won a couple here, their analytics are pretty stuck as far as the power index stuff. So, like, KenPom hasn't moved. They're still 26. Sagarin's, like, 24.
RPI is 47.
I know, and that's not good. But, I mean, that's why I think 11-7, if we think they're there, it's a 7. If they get to 12-6, I think you get 6 or 5.
Yeah, 5, bring, yeah.
But if it's 11-7, I just don't see you climbing that 6 spot. Cause it's just, I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Gray gets the point.
I want to be a 6. I don't like the 7 seed. I don't like that seed.
Neither do I, because the 7-10 game's a lot different than a 6-11.
It is.
What seed was Iowa State last year?
4.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they were, what, a 10 when they played Notre Dame, or a 7 when
they
played Notre Dame?
They were a 10.
They were the 10.
They were the underdog there.
Okay. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then they should have beaten Ohio State, but they got robbed.
Although,
and Chris Babb hurt his ankle. People forget that.
Yeah.
That was big because he was on Deshaun Thomas, who was a great player for Ohio State.
But we say this every year. Who do you want to play right now? You want to play a 2 that's come up with a 2 right here. Louisville?
I don't want to play Louisville.
Or do you want to play a 3 that's Duke right now? Duke might be the best team in the nation.
Yeah,
my point
is, Duke.
It's all matchup.
It's all matchup. And who's playing well right now? I mean, Baylor might be a 1, probably a 1-2 right now. I would say we wouldn't play them, clearly, because they're in the same conference. But I'm rather taking my chances with a reeling Baylor at a 1-2 than Duke at a 3 or 4 right now. So, it. Here nor there.
Would you rather play Gonzaga or Duke Louisville?
In Zag.
I would too.
Yeah, I'd rather have my second shot at
I saw that
the
game.
Zags. It was Karnofsky, not the largest human being human being you've ever seen.
We saw him in the hotel lobby.
Yeah, I honestly, guys, like I've never. And Bloom, you've stood next to NBA locker rooms, like
yeah.
pretty much every player in the NBA that went through Orlando that year.
He is Shaq.
He's the largest dude I've ever been next to.
You should have got a picture with him and you.
Shaq?
No,
Karnofsky.
It's been a great picture.
Didn't we ride the elevator with him once?
Yeah.
I know I did.
I was nervous to get on.
Because I thought that the thing was going to fall.
Yeah. But those things make good Otis Company, I think, was the name of the elevator. Good,
okay.
Good company. Anyway.
How the hell
Otis elevators? Elevators. I don't know. No, he's a large individual.
I don't think he's for that.
He's not an NBA guy, though. I don't think he makes the NBA.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where
are we at on points here?
I'm not
2-2. But we have 2 questions left, right?
How did you get a different point? I thought Bloom was up 2-1.
But then I thought you just gave me that last point.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It is 2-2.
with one of those being a tiebreaker. Yeah. We have two questions left.
We're just going to do one more question because just so we can have a winner. We don't want to tie. Bruce Weber was quoted last night that Iowa State was talking trash during the game. Bruce was not happy. Gray, you have an open floor to give your own personal message to Bruce Weber.
Isn't he kind of like breaking one of the cardinal rules? I mean, don't they talk trash in every single game and you never hear a coach ever comment on it? Like, who calls out another team for talking trash? Like, what a baby. What an absolute baby.
Gray's bringing it, as I knew he would.
And you know what? He's more upset. He's more upset because they've lost, what, 6 out of 7. He's 3-8 against Iowa State in his career at Kansas State. And let's be honest, he's probably a little grumpy because of that. But he's a whiner to the refs in the court. He stands on the court. He should get a technical, Bloom, for how often he's on the court.
Gray's hot official takes. I love it.
He should get a technical for that. And then he takes it, and he becomes a baby about it, talking about Iowa State players talking trash. Were they talking trash? Probably. But you know what? It goes on every game. Deal with it.
Bloom, you have the floor.
Is the internet meme? Is it a meme? Man yells at cloud. That's Bruce Weber. He's just old man yells at. He's an angry old fella. No, I don't. Why there? Like, that's not the place to do it.
It was like 20 minutes into his press conference
lost.
Too. It was weird.
It's just strange. It's baffling. And wasn't Brown the only guy in that game that got a T?
Yeah.
For talking with
Weiler. Babb got the intentional
foul, and that was a great call, by the way.
I don't want to argue with you on that. That was a controversial call on Twitter. So what made it a good call? Because Matt Lazier, you know, friend of the program, we were texting about it as well, and he too is an official, and he's like, oh yeah, it was an easy call.
Yeah, you cannot put two hands around a guy's waist.
What
on
was
a fast
Babb
break.
Thinking?
Well, that's the better question. I don't know,
because he could have caught up.
Can I say this, because this never gets brought up to me on Twitter when it happens? They botched a goaltend in Iowa State's favor.
They did.
I didn't hear much of that.
Was that the one they talked about? P.J. Colissimo said he thought it was a goaltend?
Yes, it was. They missed it.
That was close, though. That was borderline.
Well, but the point is, calls actually do go in Iowa State's favor every once in a while.
I thought the calls overall the whole night went in Iowa State's favor.
But
I did.
But back to,
I
agree.
To say
so
that?
You're saying the game was rigged in Iowa State's
favor? No, but I thought there were some favorable calls, especially down the stretch for Iowa State. I liked it.
Back to Bruce Weber. He's going to be able to complain as much as he wants about trash talking when he's unemployed next year.
Well, he won't be unemployed next year. You think they'll fire him? They're playing better. Even if they go on and they tank and they don't make the tournament, they're still better than people thought they were going to be this year.
Yeah, but I also – you make a valid point.
I mean, they're predicted to be ninth.
What's the temperature of that fan base like with Bruce Weber? Because we all know that's how coaching decisions get made. It's a money thing. Like, will anybody go to their games next year if Bruce Weber's their head coach? I don't know.
They were not even anywhere near a sellout last night,
which was surprising.
Well, and let's see too how they finish out the schedule, because the easiest part of their schedule is still to come.
Okay.
So, like,
yeah, we'll see.
They've kind of gone through a meat grinder here the last month.
And, you know, they got some young players, and when you lose some of those heartbreaking games against Kansas that they had, it's hard for a lot of those guys to regroup. And you're starting to see them kind of – they're a shell of what they were a month ago.
Odd timing for Bruce. I don't get it.
Bloom gets that point.
Thank you.
Bloom's the champion.
Put it on my man.
Congratulations, Bloom.
Thank you.
I thought I had a better – like a more intense take.
Well, it was intense, but Bloom nailed it home with the, well, he'll have plenty of time to complain next year when he's unemployed. That was a zinger.
That was a nice zinger.
It was a zinger.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't agree with it, but I appreciate the take.
You might have had more substance, but Bloom had the flash.
Yeah.
You got to feel the
difference. It was tough. He was able to finish. I think if I was the one that he went first and I got to go second, I think I would have won that.
Bloom was Deontay Burton dunking it, except it actually went through at the end of the game.
Who was the guy for UConn that tried the windmill dunk and missed it? Lamb?
Jeremy Lane.
That was me today, I guess.
Good effort.
All right, Greg, get out of here.
All right.
Bill Finley, Iowa State head women's basketball coach, is going to join us here in about 5 minutes. Now, Bloom, you've been calling the ladies' games. You started on a good stretch. Lost a game, but ladies picked one up last night.
Played well again. They're playing well.
I'm kind of optimistic.
Yeah,
about the next couple of weeks.
I am too. Big one Saturday, huge one Saturday. Have West Virginia at home, just won there by 25, but that's a good team that didn't play well against Iowa State and Morgantown.
Yep.
But a huge opportunity. If Iowa State can get this one now, there's some opportunities there to finish the season really strong, and then who knows?
Well, okay. In the record is what right now in the Big 12?
The record in the Big 12 is 5-9.
So
5-9 with four left, and the games are
now. But you can be 8-10 in Big 12 women's basketball and sneak into the.
It has happened before. It has happened before, and Iowa State's got a couple wins over ranked teams.
You know what the
wins look really good right now? The wins over you and I and Drake. Drake's in the top 25. That win is looking better and better as the season goes on. Had some more opportunities that should pass the eye test. Had Mississippi State beat. Have been in pretty much a lot of other games on the road and to falter late. You know, I think Iowa State probably has to get to 8-10 to even be in that conversation for sure. But they're playing really well. And I think this team is NCAA tournament caliber the way they're playing right now. It's just some of those losses earlier in the Big 12 conference season hopefully don't bite them here.
You can hear Bloom. Who's with you on Saturday?
Coach Parrott, Molly Parrott.
Molly Parrott and Bloom will be here on KXNO this Saturday with the call of noon, right?
Yeah.
Is the tip. So you guys will go on the air at 11:30.
Bridget Carlton keeps impressing me by the day.
She's a
stud. I think she's going to be.
She's like the next.
She could be.
Next iconic Iowa State women's basketball player.
She could be better than, and this is high praise, better than Allison Lacey or Kelsey Bolte.
Wow.
I think she's got that much talent.
Spoke to Allison Lacey, potentially doing a women's basketball podcast. Her hosting it.
Love it.
Yeah, been working on dealing that.
She's in both her and Bolte are in my top 10 Iowa State women's players of all time, maybe in top 5.
You so need to do
I don't, not, that's not a slight on them. I just think that highly of Carlton.
We need to do a column of you ranking the all-time women's basketball players.
My gosh.
It'd be great.
It's been fun. The last 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 since I've been around, but yeah.
It's amazing how many names there have been that everybody would remember.
Hey, we're going to talk to Coach Finley next. He's going to join us here on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams here wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
You know we've got the wing and burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here, thick and chewy crust, absolutely loaded with an eye-popping,
taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been hungerstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Welcome back. Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. Always excited to talk to head coach Bill Findley. You can hear the Cyclones on KXNO each and every game. Coach, you know, I don't want to ramp up the pressure or anything, but Brent Bloom and I were cramming some metrics during the break, and we've got your ladies in the tournament here. If you pick up a couple big wins, you like that? We're optimistic, buddy.
Well, you need to be optimistic. I think, Chris, you know, when you get to this time of year, you always want to play games that might impact what you're doing. And what I told our players was, you know, every season has its own story, and we need to write a story that is fun at the end. And we've all been to movies or read books that maybe were up and down in the middle, but had a great ending, and that's what you remember. Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do, you know, and I'm very proud of our kids' effort all year. They've done a good job. It's just, you know, you got to find a way to win a few more games. And, you know, there's a chance in front of us to do some things. And I think this team understands that. That's what February and March basketball is all about. And we're looking forward to certainly being home on Saturday. It should be a fun day with our game and then the guys. So it'll be a fun day for Cyclone Hoop.
Coach, it seems to me just being able to watch your team up close and personal the last three games that you really are playing some quality basketball right now. What has changed the last couple weeks and that has your team playing, I think, as well as they've had all year?
Well, Brent, you know, all year our kids have competed. I think, though, that we do have some limitations, and we've done a better job of overcoming those. We you know, when we defensive rebound enough and get to the free throw line, we got a chance. Obviously, we're a team that needs to make shots, and that sounds funny, but we're not a team that's going to overpower you in the post or turn you over, so we got to be efficient. Our kids have taken great care of the ball. You know, the last three games, I think we have a total of 27 turnovers in three games.
Wow.
We're not as good as Monte Morris, but we're getting there. you know, we're doing the little things, and I, you know, you hope that, as we talked about, I think on the pregame show the other day, that, you know, as the season gets to the end and you have people like Sean and Heather, especially, who are playing a lot, you know, they want to go out and do things the right way. And, you know, hopefully it all comes together and you're doing the things you need to do to win games and you know, understand that you can compete in the best league in the country.
Coach Bill Findley joins us here on 1460 KXNO. We were also talking in the last segment, Coach, just about Bridget Carlton. And it's been, I think, one of the most fun thing for me about watching your program is watching the young ladies grow, a lot like Shauna Johnson did, from freshman to becoming a 1,000 rebound, reaching that milestone last night and your big win. And it's been fun. Bridget, you could see from day one that she had the potential to be a really special basketball player in your program. And it seems like, much like that, your team as a whole, she's kind of hitting her stride at this point. I get to make a long question short. What's different about Bridget Carlton right now compared to a year ago at this time?
Well, I think, you know, Chris, she had a great summer. Obviously, people know she's on the fast track to be a member of the Canadian Olympic team in 2020, and she almost made it this year. And I think just the idea of leaving home and coming to college and going through what you do as a freshman, and having to play a lot of minutes as a freshman in a great league and then having a great summer and you come back with a little more confidence, you're a little more sure of yourself. You understand what it's like to go to college and go to work every day, and just the knowledge that you gain. And the other thing about it is, and it sounds funny, but it's true, I don't know that we've ever had a kid who's in the gym more than Bridget. And it's amazing how hard, you know, when you work hard and you're committed to something and you want to be good at something, how those things come together. And she's in the gym a lot. She's wearing out the gun. She wants to be a great Iowa State player, but, you know, obviously she's got other dreams, too, to represent her country. So she comes in every day with a belief and understanding of what she wants to do. She wants to be coached. She wants to be coached hard. She wants to be special, and our fans are enjoying it this year, and she's just going to get better and better, and we're very, very lucky to have her because, you know, she's not only a great player, but she's a great kid. Her family's got a bus. I think 38 people are coming from Canada on a bus to watch her play on Saturday. So,
wow.
Her family's really embraced what Iowa State's all about. And, they've enjoyed their time, and it's been fun to have her around.
Well, we'll have a bigger crowd now that the Canadians are coming down, Coach.
Nice.
But how important is Saturday to have a large crowd? I know that there's extra special meaning with the Play for K game as well.
No, it's always big, Brent. You know, and I think that, you know, when you play at home and you want to do some things, it's hard to believe we only have two home games left for not just this team, but certainly four seniors that, you know, are going out and won't get to do that again. And, you know, that you add the fact for the Play for K game and all the things that go around it and the way Iowa State does things and does it better, like most things we do it better than anyone else. They market it well. They talk about it. My wife Deb has a reception before the game for cancer survivors, so it's a great day, and I think it'll be a lot of fun because the weather will be great, and we play at noon, and people can go out and have a good lunch and have a beverage of their choice and then come back and watch the guys you know, play. So it's the kind of day that if you're an Iowa State fan, you love. You want to just hang out and watch basketball. And anytime you can spend 4 hours at Hilton, that's a very, very special thing. And we're lucky to be a part of it. And we're hoping that we do have a great crowd and we can do some good things.
Amen, Coach. We'll all be there watching both games, and we'll encourage as many people to get out there as possible. Thanks for your time, pal. We appreciate it, and we'll see you on Saturday, okay?
Hey, guys, we appreciate it very much, and go Cyclones.
All right, bud.
Thanks, Coach.
Bill Finley, Iowa State women's basketball coach here on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, 1460 KXNO.
I made a special trip to Kohl's today. I bought a pink tie for the first time in my life.
Nice.
Yeah. Part of the initiative.
Or is it like a light pink? How would you describe it?
It's a light pink with some white stripes in there. I couldn't go full pink. So I bought
full
stripes. Well, I got to match the shirt you're going to wear.
What color shirt are you wearing?
I think I'm going to wear a white shirt. Wouldn't you wear a white shirt?
Or you could go two shades of pink and really do it up. So you do like the light pink shirt and then the bright pink tie. That's what I would do.
Adam Gray would do that, but I can't pull that off. Yeah, what do you wear? I was like, white shirt with pink tie or blue shirt?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can do
whatever.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. I don't think you can go wrong with the white shirt.
It's that Cyclones.tv audience that would care.
Yeah, it's a little different as a broadcaster when you're on site TV and the radio, though.
It is. Because
you have to, like, the first time I ever had to do it, I got thrown. Like, Fellingham was like, look at the camera. And I'm like, well, we're on the radio. Oh,
well, and then the
TV,
so the,
too.
This is really nerdy. But when you call the game, so we're stationed next to the bench.
Yeah.
The camera for site TV is on the opposite side. So normally I like to go, team goes from left to right. Well, if you're watching that thing on TV, it's the other way. So I always don't know what to do there. I know. Broadcaster.
Well, you're a pro.
Oh, yeah.
You always figure.
But no, I really encourage, if you're thinking of something to do, get up there on Saturday. The team could use it. A great crowd only helps. And as Coach said, they got some stuff to play for. And Hilton Magic would only help the cause.
Amen to that. Do you have any thoughts on this Larry Eustace deal? You followed Iowa State. I didn't. Larry Eustace to me was just another basketball coach. I wasn't a big Cyclone fan at that point. I know his legend based off of my job now. I'm very familiar with everything. I feel like I've researched it very well. My quick take on it is, one, you can't do that stuff in 2017 like you did in 2000. It's just a different time. It doesn't mean he's wrong. It's just different. Two, not every player responds to that. And that was the case back in 2000. I don't know if you heard Jake Sullivan on with us earlier today. He said he had like 70-some teammates when he played for Coach's Station. Not everybody can hack it. That doesn't make him wrong. I wasn't surprised to read anything that I read. I'm not sure anything that I read was fireable either. I'm kind of just riding the fence on this whole thing, Bloom, based off of my knowledge of Larry Eustace in the past.
And it's interesting looking back. I mean, I will always have a reverence for Larry Eustace because his teams were a big part of some of the best times of my childhood. I know it's weird to say that you devote that much attention to a sport or a team, but we do. That's why we're fans. And when I'm 14, 15 years old and watching those teams win back-to-back Big 12 championships, and I think Larry Eustace was a big part of that, what he did, I get it. Now, what he did to get there, some of the treatment of the players, I thought you made a great point. Would I have liked to play for him? Heck no, probably not.
I would have quit.
But I enjoyed the result of it. And I think that's the confliction here for a lot of people is, would you want to deal with that yourself? Would you want a boss like that? I don't know, probably not. Did you like the results that it got? Yes. So it is. It's a tough balance, and I don't know if there's a perfect answer. You know, what he did at Colorado State, did he do the same at Iowa State? I guess so. Did he do the same at Southern Miss? I mean, the guy probably hasn't changed a whole lot. And if you, like Jake Sullivan said, a lot of those guys didn't like it. But Marcus Fizer became a better player because of it. Jamal Tinsley has the famous quote. He showed up to the first day of practice. He said, I'm not here on a bleeping track scholarship. I mean, he worked those guys.
Yeah.
But he also turned them into the players they were. It was a big part of it. So, man, it's a tough deal.
It's hard to like sit here and I was telling Gray this earlier. I don't know if you listened to the Charter House podcast earlier.
I did.
Like, it's really hard for me to have, like, a black or white opinion on this because I don't know. I don't know exactly what he said, how many times he said it, who, you know, like, there's certain words, though, you can't use in 2013 or whatever it is. You just can't. Now, you can call me soft all you want, but the world has changed, and eventually other people have to adapt to it as well. You're not above that just because you're a basketball coach. And when you're a state employee, like, there's certain things you can't do. However, I still, like, I don't know all the details. Like, I can read what the Coloradan or whatever the hell the newspaper is.
Yeah.
But I can't come on here and, like, give you a matter-of-fact opinion on that unless I know the facts. And, like, to me, there's just – if that athletic director didn't fire him after he was nudged to do. That should tell you something as well.
And
it's a hard deal to discuss.
It is. But the athletic director is judged by wins and losses and the quality of the program. And
he's gone, too, by the way. He's not there anymore.
But they're in first place again.
Yeah.
With Larry Eustace as the head coach. And there's no doubt the guy can coach.
Yeah, I've never once doubted that.
And, man, it's such a tough deal because he probably wasn't in the best mental place when he was at Iowa State. But, I mean, those teams played hard and they were physical. And I don't know if they get there without him. And so then does Iowa State basketball thought of differently without Larry Eustace? But, I mean, you don't want to compare it to the egregious nature of a Baylor because that's way, way, way worse.
Correct.
But this is what we did now. So we ignore some of the moral things or some of the less desirable things because of the fun things that happen as a result of it. And it's college sports can be really messy. There's not a perfect way to do it. There's a lot more that I'm guessing people don't want to know about what happens to get there for the good things to happen. But it's just there's no easy answer. And, I agree with you. I don't think you can go – and be assured 100% one way or another on him. And I will be thankful as a fan of the results of those teams. I'm not quite happy with what he did to get there, but I will forever have reverence for what he did to win back-to-back Big 12 championships.
I think that's a good way to wrap the Larry Eustace conversation up, and hopefully I don't have to talk about it again this week.
Well, that's one of those things, though.
It's just uncomfortable.
I don't think it's going to go away for Larry either. I mean, once the one shoe drops and people will – you know, jump on, and, you know, it's just not – in this era, you're always looking for the next thing to keep it going. So I wouldn't want to be Larry right now.
Well said, Brent. Thanks to Steve Prohm. Thanks to Bill Finley for joining us tonight. As always, if you missed out on any of this, we'll get the podcast up on our iTunes feed. give us a follow or whatever you do on iTunes at Cyclone Fanatic. Thank you, Bloom.
Let's go celebrate.
It's Cammy's second birthday party here at Benchwarmers. If you want to come on over, I'll buy you a cold Busch Light.
Bring some PJ Masks. Masks?
PJ Masks. We're into Elmo. Giant Elmo balloons.
Love it.
Cammy's birthday party is next here at Benchwarmers. I'm assuming that Fox Sports Radio is next on KXNO. I don't know that for a fact, though, so my apologies if it's not.
From the WCI Pools and Spas studio, this is 1460 KXNO Des Moines, an iHeartRadio station at KXNO.com. Or